So we have been in a series the last several weeks talking about it's just a phase, and we've been discussing the different phases that we go through in life and how each phase brings both challenges and opportunities to serve the Lord in different capacities. And we started about several weeks ago talking about being single and how the Lord can use us in that stage, and we've gone from singleness to marriage and dating and kids and all that kind of stuff. Well, today we're finishing our series, and we're talking about finishing well, or maybe the golden years is another way to put it. And so I couldn't think of anybody better to share wisdom in that phase than one of our founding pastors, Freeman Thomas. And so he and I sat down this past Monday and recorded a video. And the reason for that, just so you know, like, why are we here watching the video? Well, it's hard to do this twice, to be quite honest with you. And so we recorded a video. It's about 20 minutes or so, and just really him sharing so much of what he has learned and experienced in life, and it's just going to be a real blessing to us as a church, and I will wrap it up whenever we finish this up. But you guys enjoy a conversation between Pastor Freeman and myself. So Freeman, we've been talking about the last few weeks about different phases of life, and as one of the founding pastors of Cornerstone, really felt like you would be such a great example of in the phase that we're going to call the golden years. I don't know if it feels golden or not. I don't know how it feels. But in the golden years or in the latter phases of life. And so in the series, we've been trying to figure out how do we face the challenges of that season, because every season comes with challenges. But also, how do we faithfully serve God in those seasons? So we got together beforehand and came up with some questions that we feel like you can help us with your life wisdom and how to approach the challenge of the phase that you're in, but also how do you remain faithful? And so the first question that I asked was, what are some of the most important lessons that you've learned in your life? That's a big question. That's a big one, so it might take a minute.
Always. And I tell people this now, young people and old, let your yes be yes. And count the cost on you.
Yeah.
Because if you are somebody come in, you ask them to do something, they say, yeah, I'll do it. And you flip everything plan, and all of a sudden, nothing has been done because he didn't or she didn't do what she said she was going to do. And next thing you know, then you start from scratch all over again. And that's duplicating the same job.
It's a valuable truth in our world today where people's word doesn't seem to matter as much. No. Do you have another life lesson, something important you've learned in your life that you really feel like helped you stay faithful in following the Lord in your life, good times and bad?
At 17 and a half, I joined the military. Uh-huh. And my first trip was from Cameron, South Carolina to Osan, Korea.
Yeah. Basically the same, right? Cameron and Korea?
Yeah.
So
you get from one place to the other. And mankind is all looking for the same thing. Uh-huh. And they don't know what they're looking for. That's why we are such a mess we're in right now, because nobody wants to give up what they got to get what they want.
Yeah.
So it just don't be done. Nobody do nothing until they get into a fight.
So I'm assuming, so you mean that what they're looking for is they are looking for the Lord, but nobody really wants to do what it takes to give up what they should in order to get what they actually need.
That's right, man, yes.
Yeah.
And mankind is same.
Yeah.
God created man. And all the things that fall after that was because of our mistake.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, people need the same Jesus, regardless of what language they speak and regardless of where they go. So looking back at your time in the military, what would you say is something that you wish you knew then that you know now in this season of your life? You know, you've lived a long, full life. What do you wish you knew back then?
If I had known how to actually love Christ like God loved his son, Christ, I would be in all about being a whole lot better place. Right now, we I have learned in the last 25 years that love Jesus Christ and serve mankind. And that has been a blessing to me, even though with the loss of my wife, I still remember when she would tell me things like, well, we need to do this or we need to look at that. And I could figure out, I said, okay. But if I look back from here, back to where January 2017, now I can see it much clearer.
Yeah.
It's much clearer now to look back and say, love Jesus and serve mankind.
Yeah. What advice would you pass on to those who come after you?
Well, you know, we need to remember who we are.
Yep.
And who we are in Christ.
Yeah, that's good.
And that is the thing that I would probably share with young men right now. If you're 30 to 50 years old, there's things you should be doing right now that I wish I had done. But yep. It's one of those things that you look back 20 years ago, there's things that I wish I hadn't done. But then I also know I've been forgiven of those things because God said he would forgive me.
Yeah.
Now, the part next is this. What am I going to do with this forgiveness? Am I going to make time in my life now to please God till the end? Or am I going to just keep on doing what I've been doing?
No, that's really good. What am I going to do with that forgiveness? That's a really good way to put that.
It's right in front of us. Most of the time, it's right in front of us, and we don't see it.
Yeah.
Because we're looking for the wrong thing.
So what about, it's been a little while. If you could think back to that season of time, raising kids, maybe raising teenagers, what's some advice that you would give to a parent that's in that season right now, or maybe they're about to go into that season of time in their life? What would you tell them?
Well, I would hope that they've already done some of the things that should be done by now.
Yeah.
Kids are going to learn what they do and see mom and dad do.
That's true.
And that is one thing that a lot of time we sort of forget. And we think that the kids, because they are our kids, we can tell them how to do things from now until they get 90 years old. Well, they're not going to listen that long.
Yeah.
But there's a good thing that you can do. If you show the faith towards Jesus Christ or what we should be showing in our homes as parents, it's a great challenge for children to go away from that if they already know it.
So many people are filled with regret at the end of their life. And I think one of the things I've always admired about you is I have never felt that you, or when Pat was still here, that you guys, y'all were very always open about your past. But as you said, you know, that Christ has forgiven you of those things. And so what's something that you feel like, you know, I really did make a mistake, but this is an example of how Jesus has helped me overcome that. And so you don't have to live a life of regret. Because I think a lot of times when we hear that, we think like, well, yeah, but you just don't know what I've done, or you don't know the situation I'm in. It's like, well, you're not perfect. You're just saved by grace like everybody else. But you don't live in that space of just full of regret of the things that you've did or didn't. Maybe something you even didn't do, and you feel like the Lord has helped you with that.
I'll tell you the truth. When I left Cameron, I was lost.
Oh, wow.
I was physically in the body, but I was lost. And when I came back to the States in 1957, I had to learn all over again the things that mom and dad taught me at the kitchen table. And I did not remember a lot of it till I got back here and started reading my Bible, because I didn't do a whole lot of Bible reading in Korea.
Yeah.
And that hurt, because I got started late because I wasn't here. Now we got a lot of things going on. But then we were, well, when I was little, before you came along, you had a pastor in the community, you had your teachers in the community, you had the principal of school in the community. So you had one group of people that actually watched the kids from kindergarten up to maybe eighth grade.
Yeah.
So what they learned, they kept building on it up to the eighth grade. We don't have that now. We got everybody wants to do their own thing, and everybody wants you to do what they want you to do for them, but they don't want to do nothing.
Kind of to finish this question up, advice you would like to pass on to anybody that came after you, I'd like to touch on just the idea of marriage, and what are some advice that you would give to people in maybe making the most of your marriage, faithfully following the Lord together? Because I think that's what you and Pat demonstrated so well, is that it wasn't just her, it wasn't just you, it was always Freeman and Pat, you know, and what God did together through you. What advice would you give to a younger couple, or maybe a couple that is in their 40s or 50s that are entering into that phase?
You have to get your faith from the right source, which is Jesus Christ. There's no faith anywhere else for anybody to take you to read and get your kids growing in the right direction. There's no faith, nobody else. It's got to come from Jesus, and that's coming from God himself.
Yeah.
And you've got to grab a hold of that. You've got to talk to your kids about it and other people's kid every time you get a chance.
You know, kind of moving on into obviously a difficult season of life and a difficult part of growing older. I very vividly remember Pat's homegoing service, and I know this probably sounds so immature, but having a tinge of jealousy of how many people had a Freeman and Pat story, of the amount of people that had ownership and buy-in to you guys, and it just is an example of how y'all live such a giving life. And the faithfulness to serving the Lord, and how that far, far beyond probably what any of us know, probably beyond even what you and Pat knew. It's just being faithful. And that was a real powerful moment in my life, even in the midst of all of our sadness of the Lord calling her home. And so what was it like walking through that season of having to take care of her, and obviously that cancer battle wasn't just a short season, it was a couple years. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what was that like during that season?
Well, it started off because we both loved each other and we loved the Lord. It wasn't hard to start wherever we had to start and go with each other. And it all boils down to this. I knew that she loved me, and I try to respect that. I love her, and she respected that. And when we did get to the point we needed each other, we were there for each other. There's no way any of us can even imagine until you have gone through it. You have no idea what's going to happen in here.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like my heart was snatched out and thrown in a fire somewhere. Mm. And the other time, I got the comfort of knowing where she was.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to come back to me no matter what.
Yeah.
But the thing was, I had to prepare myself to go to her.
Yeah.
And that made a major difference in how I live from January of 2017 till right now. I'm still trying to live that because I want to see her again.
Yeah.
And to do that, I got to go where Jesus said.
Yeah.
So I always think of one thing in the hospital when the doctor came out and told me it was over, it was done with. And I looked to my right, there was Artie. I looked to my left, that was Georgie. Artie and Georgia was on the left and right side of me. And guys, the strength I had to get from that down to the car to go home to change clothes was tremendous.
Yeah.
but there was audit in Georgia, and during the service, you audit and Gamati.
Yeah.
You guys said everything that needed to be said.
Yeah.
The three of you said everything that needed to be said, and we didn't have to go try to dig something up. You guys knew her well enough.
Yeah.
All you had to do is, and I look at that, and I thank God for you guys, all three of you.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I was not lost, but I was hurting so bad I couldn't feel anything else but that.
Yeah.
But it came and it went.
Yeah.
And my prayers for health started as I walked out of the Orangeburg Regional Hospital.
And so how has your life, you know, changed since then? And how has maybe your relationship with the Lord kind of changed in your life in this phase?
I spent much more time now, since Pat passed till now, I've spent much more time praying than I did prior to that. Mm-hmm. But it's basically the same prayer. Prayer of thanksgiving. This is what you've given me for 44 years. And that's what I'm living on right now. I'm remembering and living on what we had for those 44 years. And nobody can sit here and tell you how long to grieve, how to grieve, what to grieve about. That's nobody in the flesh can tell you how to grieve over your loved one.
Yeah.
It's a whole new ball game. When you said ashes to ashes, dust to dust, there's a whole new ball game started right then.
Yeah.
And it's not the same as anything you've ever had.
What do you feel like besides being thankful? I think it's very, very powerful, actually. That's really good. But what else do you feel like has helped you in this season of grief, especially maybe the first year or two after her passing? I mean, was it people? Was it new activity? What kind of was that for your personal story?
Well, there was some things that people have said, and they thought they were saying the right thing. And there were times they were totally out of line, but you couldn't tell them that.
That's when you needed the slapping ministry. That's what you need. That's already slapping ministry. We've always needed. We never got it started.
Like I said earlier, if you have never gone through it, you can't imagine what happened when you lose that loved one that you've had for 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he or she's not there. And you are alone every night in a bed. Mm. That is horrible. But the faith in God through his son, Jesus Christ, that's all you can get, go use to get through it. There's nobody can tell you here on earth what to do.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pray and get through this on your own.
So I feel like what I hear you're saying there is, make sure you have a strong relationship with Jesus before you need him when hard times come.
Amen.
You have been blessed with a long, long life. You have accomplished, to be honest, it's hard for me to keep up. I mean, for people watching or that don't know, I mean, you know, you were in the military. How many years were you in the military?
21.
So in the military for 21 years, you were a judge in St. Matthews. That's actually what a lot of people in the Calhoun County know, you, Judge Thomas. You helped found and have led for the last 25 years the largest church in Orangeburg, Calhoun, or Bamberg County. You and your family have served people, loved people. What do you want to be remembered for most, though? Because you have a lot to be remembered for. You've accomplished a lot, but more than anything, what do you want to be remembered for the most?
It's one of those things that when you look back, before I close my eyes for the last time, I pray I can look back and just thank God for what he gave me an opportunity to do.
My personal, my Freeman and really my Freeman and Pat story, but... And I've said this to you, obviously, in private. I think what I will continue to remember you for, and look, I'm asking the Lord that, you know, you still got plenty of time. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm sure it depends on the day. But what I am going to remember most is how you guys love so selflessly, and how you and Pat have consistently over the years brought life to people whom you didn't know anything to. You didn't owe them the time, you didn't owe them the prayers, but because of your faithfulness and just your generous hearts, I wouldn't be who I am or where I am. I attribute that to you, my parents, and the Lord. You know, y'all are the grandparents that I never had. And when I think of how I want to be viewed, I want to be able to say that I live like Freeman and Pat. And that, man, I just, because y'all love people, y'all cross racial boundaries, financial boundaries, and this church wouldn't exist if it wasn't for you and Pat.
Absolutely true. Pastor Freeman, we just thank you. I thank you so much for honoring us by having that conversation. There's a phrase that says, don't meet your heroes, you'll be disappointed. And that may be the case for a lot of people, but that is not the case for me, because you are my hero. I think you are the hero of so many other people here at church. And just because I'm the one with the microphone, you know, Freeman helped baptize me when I was 9 years old. I went to college where he told me to go to college. He married my wife and I, and truth be told, there was a hard season in my parents' life that I don't know if their marriage would have made it if it wasn't for Freeman and Pat. And so everything that I am, Freeman, I attribute to you. You are my hero. And I think we could all learn from that example, and that was my purpose today of just setting an example before us. I think we ought to look to those who have paved the way, and you have. You have paved the way for this church to exist, for us to be here. There will be children and grandchildren who are blessed here who may never, ever hear your name, but it doesn't matter. In the kingdom of God, you have made a difference, and we're just so thankful for you. Man, we love you. So, again, another round of applause for Freeman. We just love you guys. Love you so much. Thank you so much. How we're going to end today is the band's just going to come out and lead us just in a song response. You guys can come on out, and we're just going to sing, and that'll be it for today. Again, don't forget to sign up if you have not. QR code out in the concourse. 5 o'clock for food, 5:30 for events, and make sure you have your tickets ready to rock and roll when we get there. So let me pray, and we can conclude. Father, I just thank you so much for Freeman. I thank you for how you have chosen to use him in such a mighty, powerful way. Oh, I thank you that not only is he a giant of a man physically, but he is a giant spiritually, because he put his hope and his trust in you. I am so thankful for his life and legacy, and for Pat and her life and legacy. And Lord, I pray that you actually give us their same spirit, that you would work in us the same way, that Lord, we live life trying to finish well. And it doesn't matter how we maybe mess up on the way or how we get started, Lord, but it is how we finish. So I pray for all of us that you help us finish well. We thank you for legacy. May we be a church building legacies. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You guys stay with me. Let's worship.